Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 1, Philippians chapter number 1. We'll begin reading verse number 1 in just a moment and share with you a few thoughts today that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. I love to read the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote and gave us. He gave us much of the Scripture that we have. Of course, it was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that laid upon his heart the words that he would have him depend to place in the Word of God. But here, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And quite often, if you remember, he wanted them to know that he was remembering them. You know, it's the one thing, and I'm grateful today for the children of God and those who are faithful to this church and people in our church. It's a blessing through the years. It's been a blessing to pastor here for 32 years. But I tell you, couldn't have done what I did if it had not been for the people that the Lord led here. And I thank God for you. And Paul also wanted them to know, in the church at Philippi, he wanted them to know how much he cared about them and how much he appreciated them. So he began in the letter by writing, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'll stop right there, but as I look at it and think about it, what he was saying is he said, I pray for you every day. I thank God for you. And I'm grateful for the blessing that you've been in my life. But the verse I want to preach on today is found in verse number 6. If you have your Bible still there, let's read it. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together and, Lord, to worship you. We pray today that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. I pray that you give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that you would guide the message, Lord, give me the words, the wisdom, and the spirit that I need today as I stand here and proclaim the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. Just as a side note, before we get into the message today, could I remind you, it's of great importance to let people know that you love and care about, to let them know that you love and care about them. You know, oftentimes we wait till there's a funeral and there's somebody dies, and immediately we often always want to do good act, and we say, well, we'll send flowers. The flowers is a comfort and encouragement to those who get them, but how much more it would have been a blessing to the person that was living for you to have taken time, whether to send flowers or whether just to go by and visit or whether you to make a call and just let them know that you appreciated them, you appreciated their faithfulness, and appreciate what they were doing. So in the verses preceding, verse number 6, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing. But now he comes to verse 6. And he shares with them some really, really good news. There's good news, and there's really, really, really good news. And of course, that's what he's sharing with them today. And he's sharing with them is the fact that there was a day when they got saved, those that had been saved. Again, don't assume that you're saved, because assuming that everybody's saved is a false precept or false thinking. Everybody is not saved, only those who have trusted Christ. But he said, I want you to know that what God has begun in you, he's going to finish. And so we're grateful today that God is still working on us. He's still working on me. You said, preacher, I don't know if he can do much more with you. I agree with you, but I'm still convinced today that he's not finished with me yet, and he's still working on me in my life to give me what I need and to give you what you need as I minister to you. And I pray that God will keep working on me till the day I die and go to be with him. A lot of people get old and they say, well, we're just too old anymore. We can't do anything. I tell you honestly, when you get to the latter part of your years, you can probably do more for God than you ever did if you're willing to give your life to him. I like the children's song. I'll not bore you by singing it, but I will read the words to you. He said, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part, but I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what ought to be. He took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And I tell you today, he must be loving and patient to work with some of us, right? It'd be very difficult, maybe sometime, to put up with us along the way. But I'm glad today, and I'm glad for you to understand and know today that God is still working on you. The day you got saved, that did not end it. It didn't just get something started. God began a work work in you that he wants to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And don't ever feel or get to the point of feeling that you're not loved or cared about him. As we travel toward eternity, isn't it good to know that he's working in our life? And I want to take this verse this morning and point out some special truths about this fact that he's still working on us. We're a work in progress. I have people all the time tell me, say, well, preacher, I just don't think I've come to the point of being where I need to be. Well, welcome to the club. I don't believe there's a person in this building that is where you want to be or where you need to be. There's always improvements that can be made. There's always something that can be done. And believe me, what God begun, he will finish, and he wants to finish in you if you're obedient to him. The first thing we notice in the passage of Scripture today, he said, being confident of this very thing. I tell you today, when I think about that, I think about the fact that all of our relationship and all of our trust must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today, there's no doubt in my mind, I have faith enough to believe that he will do what he said he would do. And if he said that he would save my soul, if I called on his name and received him as my Savior, I believe with all my heart that I'm just as saved today as I ever will be, because I'm confident that he'll do what he said he would do. The word confident there means to persuade, to convince beyond all doubt. I tell you today, we come to the house of God and hear the Word of God, it ought to strengthen us. It ought to help us. We ought to leave here not with doubt in our mind, but we ought to leave here with confidence in our God. To know that God saved us by his grace, he's working miracles in our life. I can't help, this comes to mind. I read some of the excerpts that Brother Joe and them have sent me concerning his granddaughter, baby Joy. And I tell you, she's struggling and fighting for her life. And I read those things and they talk about they tried to different ventilator, and she gets better and her lungs are improving, but that ventilator can do damage to her lungs if they're not careful. And I think about that, and I tell you, that hospital, them people are constantly working around the clock to try to save her life and give her the strength that she helps need. You said, you're right, preacher, but amen on that. But listen, God is working today in your life, if you're saved by the grace of God, to save you from the pit of hell, to give you eternal life in heaven, and to help you as you serve him, to strengthen you and to guide you to live for him and be obedient to him in all your life. Paul was not alone in this belief. The Bible overflows with verses that tell us this. I know things that we hear many times, but I tell you, I think it's good every now and then to be reminded of the fact that Jesus is still in the saving business. And I say to you today, I never take for granted when I preach to a crowd that there's not somebody here that might be lost and on their way to hell. And friend, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to put your faith and trust in Christ and be confident that he's able to save you, to keep you, and to take you to heaven to be with him. I realize today most in the crowd are probably saved by the grace of God, but I want you to know today that if you are saved, you can rest assured that you are saved. Now that's not a profound statement, but it's just the truth from the Word of God. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you, that it's written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of God. Friend, I tell you this morning, if you've trusted Christ, I want you to be confident today. God's not an Indian giver. God doesn't make mistakes. And God is never going to give you something and take it away from you. If he gives you something, he's going to give you eternal life. He just begins to work on you to bring you to the place you need to be in your life. Somebody said, how in the world can we know we're saved? I had a man the other day, I was talking to him, and I asked him the question, are you saved? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, well, preacher, I just don't believe we can know. I believe we're just not going to know till we get to heaven and we get at the gate. I believe when we get there, maybe at that time, you know, we'll find out whether we make it in or not. Boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't even waste my time preaching this blessed book if I thought that to be true, because Jesus died for the sins of the world, Lord, that he might give them eternal life. I tell you how you can know you're saved this morning. You can know you're saved when you have believed in Jesus. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see, when you believe in Jesus, now there's a lot of people that they said, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, there's a difference between believing and believing. You said, would you explain that? Well, I'm not real smart, but I think I can explain it. You can believe just like, let me give an illustration. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can believe that something is real, but if I never partake of it, I'll never know whether it's for real. Whether somebody tells me I can jump out of an airplane, that parachute's going to catch me and float me to the ground. I'm never going to know that fact because I'm not jumping out of no airplanes and trusting no parachute to get me to the ground. You know what I mean? Now, I believe that they work. I've seen there's people jump out all the time, some crazy people, and they jump out of that plane all the time, and they float down, and it looks so nice. I ain't trying it. And I tell you, you can believe there's a Jesus, and you can believe there's God. But I tell you, unless you believe, I'm talking about confessing your sin, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and being saved by the grace of God. Another way you know your sin is this: what the Bible said. It said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you turn your back on sin, listen to what he said in 1 John 3, verse 6 through 10. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, nor known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that hath committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now that verse demands some clarification. I want you to understand, if you're saved, your desire to sin ought to be gone. You ought to have a desire not to sin, to live right. Now, will you sin? I know what this said, and that's talking about willfully sinning. But I think it was just a little short time ago that I preached on this. The Bible said that if we sin, we have an advocate. Well, it was last Sunday. We have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to tell you, a person saved, I know a lot of people that say they're saved, and they don't live like they're saved. I tell you, they just constantly, I don't never see any fruit, good fruit. I don't never see any of the good things that would identify the believer. And I'm not questioning a person's salvation. I can't know your salvation. I can't know whether you're saved or whether you're not saved except by your testimony. What you say, and that's between you and God. And I'm not meddling this morning. I'm not trying to judge if a person's saved or not. I'm just saying, if a person's saved, there ought to be some evidence in their life that they've been born again. So we know if we believed in God and called on him, we're saved. We know that if we have turned against sin and we turned our back on sin, and by the way, if you're saved and you sin, you'll be bothered by it because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you that will convict you and show you the things that is wrong. Then another one, boy, this is a good one. When you genuinely love the brethren. Boy, I tell you today, thank God for the good years of ministry that he's given me and for this church and for you folks. What a blessing it's been to be your pastor. And I tell you, I'm just thankful that you allowed me to be here as long as you have. And I'm grateful for every minute of it. But I tell you, we have a loving congregation. And I've had people tell me that we have a very loving congregation. And when people come in, they feel welcomed and wanted and feel the warmth of us being here. But I tell you, through the years, I've heard testimonies of churches. There was nothing but one feud after another feud, one fight after another fight. Friend, I don't know that I'm not particular, have no particular church in mind this morning, but I'll tell you, any church like that is not of God. Friend, today the Bible said if we're children of God, we'll love the brethren. You said, well, I don't like the way they do. Listen, I tell you, there's none of us made alike, and we may not like the way something or somebody does or what they do, but listen, if they're our brother and sister in Christ, we'll love the brethren. It's a good way to know if we're saved or not. So the ability to know you're saved is not a foolish thought or thinking. It's a biblical truth. You can know for sure you're saved, saved by the grace of God beyond any doubt. Notice what he said. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he hath begun a good work in, what's that next word? Whoa, now, wait a minute. We're talking about you, okay? If you'll just let me for a minute, I want to talk about you. You say, well, preacher, you need us worse than I do. That may be the case. But I tell you, the you points to me too, and it points to you. This assurance he speaks of is very personal in nature. Isn't it amazing that we serve an almighty God that has the rule of the universe, and he knows everybody by name? Boy, I tell you, the other day somebody asked me somebody's name, and I've known them for years, and I could not think of it. And I'll tell you, I see it more and more every day. But I'll tell you today, one thing I know is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he knows me by name. He knows every hair of my head. He knows everything about me. But furthermore, he knows everything about you also. And today you can know that you're saved personally. And by the way, it is a personal salvation. I remember when our missionary brother LePage was here, he talked about going over to Guernsey. And he preached over there. He asked a young lady, you remember, he said he asked a young lady, he said she sang a beautiful song. He said it was one that brought tears to everybody's eyes, a good Christian song. And he turned to the young lady and he says, young lady, he said, have you ever trusted Christ? Are you saved? She looked kind of bewildered and she looked at her mother and she said, Mom, have I? And she said, I think so, let's go. She didn't want to talk about it, but friend, I'm going to tell you something. My mama can't tell you whether I'm saved. My daddy couldn't have told you whether I was saved. I know they can't now. They're in heaven. But even if they were living. And friend, you don't know if your children are saved except you give them the Word of God. You keep them under the sound of the Word of God. And there'll be evidence that you'll know they're saved because of the love they have one for another. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that our own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. There's nothing more liberating and freeing to the spirit than knowing for sure that I'm saved. I tell you, I go to bed a lot of nights, and at my age, sometimes I have difficulty going to sleep. But I can say one thing for sure. I can't remember a time that I've laid down and couldn't go to sleep because I was worried about whether I was going to heaven or not. I settled it a long time ago. Now, maybe as a young child I may have. But I tell you, in my adult years, there's never been a thought anymore. I settled it. I just believe God. I know this is a thing. Somebody said, well, I want to be sure. Listen, you need to be sure. And if you're not sure, you need to make sure. Make sure today. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're saved. Listen, it's not worth the chance of chancing it. And maybe not being saved. But I tell you what, if you're saved, just trust God. Be in confidence. Somebody said, how you know you're saved? I said, because I did everything he said in that book. And I believed in my heart. And brother, I did my part. And I know if I've done my part, God will do his part. And I'm trusting him in all that I do. Yes, with confidence, I can say I know I'm saved. I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I'm not pointing fingers and saying you're not. I hope you are, and I believe most of you are. But I can say with confidence, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, there he is, that enablement, that he's begun a good work, enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's what the Apostle Paul said, and that he said he's enabled me. Thank God today. Listen. Well, I tell you, songs can make us the biggest liars there is. We sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But I tell you, if you're going to sing it, you must believe it. Truly today, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And he's yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours on a personal basis, thank God. Amen. And it's not a group thing. Rest in the Lord's confidence, but rest in the Lord's commitment. The confidence we possess is not something which dwells within us naturally. The activity of God in us, around us, and for us makes our confidence in him something very precious, powerful, and real. You said, well, being confident, how do you know God's confident? Because my God has been faithful to me all these years that I've lived and served him. I've seen the hand of God. I've seen the blessings of God. I see God work daily in my life. I see God work daily in other people's lives. Friend, I tell you, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, and we're just putting our trust in God. He's taking care of it. But I tell you, it's a miracle today that little Joy is still living the way she struggled and gone through the difficulty she has. But obviously, God has a plan and a purpose along the way. Amen. And I tell you, furthermore, just as much as He loves little Joy, He loves you this morning with an everlasting love. And He wants to work on you to bring you to the place that you need to be. He didn't say, one day I'm going to start working on you. You know, you ask somebody to do something, they say, well, I'll do it in a week. I'll do it in a month. I'll do it in a year. Never get around to it sometimes, and even when they did. But I tell you, when we got saved, He didn't say, I'll come back and check with you 10 years from now. I tell you, when you get a little older, I'll try to help you out. Right then, He begun a work in our lives to bring us to the place that we need to be. God loved us before we ever existed. That's even incomprehensible unless you believe in God. The Bible says of Jeremiah that God knew him when he was in the womb. And he had a plan for his life. Boy, doesn't it just stagger your imagination to think how God is so magnificent and so wondrous and so powerful that He knows us even before we're born. He knows everything about us. He knows where we're going to end up. He knows what we're going to do. And yet, He saves us and begins to work in us to bring us to the place we need to be. God chose us in Christ before the world was formed. Did you know that? God knew what was going to happen. Listen. This didn't just happen to occur. He said He knew us even before the foundation of the world, before Ephesians 1, verse 5 and 6. God prepared a Savior for us before the world was ever formed. God finished our salvation before we was born. When He went to an old rugged cross, they nailed Him to a tree and He bled every drop of blood out of His body. And He bowed His head and He cried, "It is finished." Oh, not our salvation's finished, but what He had provided and given us salvation, His work of salvation was finished, but what He finished, He was just starting. In fact, some of it just started years later after the cross. We were born in this world and got saved by the grace of God, that God began to do great things in our life. God saves us eternally when we're called on Jesus by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't do Facebook very often. I do get an occasional email that somebody posted something, and out of curiosity, I guess, or maybe entertainment, I'll go and look and just see what's there. And just yesterday, I got a little email, and somebody posted something. I won't call the name, but I went and looked at it, and they had put on their Ephesians 2:8-9. I said, well, that's a good thing. Man, that's good. Maybe somebody will read it that don't know that. Maybe somebody will get saved. You know, those tools, those outlets can be used for good. But so much of it really doesn't matter. It's just all about ourselves and about other things that we do. But you know, it's all about Him. And while God's working in us, should we not be caring about Him? We're told the same God who began the good work will perform it. He said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He didn't say, now some of you, I just can't help you. I can't finish what started with you. You're just a mess. I tell you, you're the worst of the worst. Well, I probably am the one I'm talking about this morning. But thank God, even in me, what He began, He's going to finish in my life, if I'll continue to be faithful to Him. You see, to bring to an end, it's what it means to begin this good work, to perform it, to bring to an end, to complete it, to accomplish entirely, to furnish completely. I don't know how you're going to heaven. I mean, I do know how you're going. You're either going by death or by the rapture, but I'm talking about when you stand before God, I don't know what you might have to face. I don't know what I'm going to have to face, but I know one thing. I'm going to heaven. Because what He begun, He's going to finish. and He's going to give me what I need. He's going to complete it. God did not save any of God didn't save anybody to lose us along the road. Brother, God's never lost one of His children. Do you hear me? God's never lost one of His children. He knows where they're at. He knows what they're doing. But friend, if they're saved, if they're born again, if they're truly a child of God, He will never lose them. And when the journey's complete, they're going to be right where they're supposed to be, because He's going to perform it unto that day. What a wonderful guarantee. Now, you know, we ought not to just take that lightly. We ought not just think, well, praise God, I'm going to heaven anyway. It don't matter what I do. My friend, that attitude, that's just not a good attitude, because I don't really believe you're saved if that's the way you feel. I tell you today, after all God's done for me, I owe Him so much more than I could ever give Him upon this earth. But I want you to know that we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace, and we're secured by grace. Salvation is all about grace from the beginning to the end. Friend, He never quits working on us until He completes it. Here's why God saved you. God saved us for one reason, that He might conform us to the image of His own Son. To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him. Again, a little explanation. No, we'll never be just like Him. There's some cult religion that teaches that everybody one day is going to be a god. I got news for you. Ain't going to happen. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Friend, I tell you what, we was talking this morning, and somebody was mentioning to me about St. Patrick. We was talking about saints. I said, listen, only people that's saints is people that's trusted Christ. If you're saved this morning, you're a saint. Now, we kind of identify that with, ooh, that's a really good person. Not all saints are good persons sometimes. They may have some baggage along the way. But, you know, thank God today He saved us in order that He might get us. Why did He save us anyway? To represent Him. What's the best way to represent somebody is to mimic them, to act like them, to do like they would do. Will we ever be like somebody else? No. But that's what God wants to do in our life, to bring us to the place. Friend, again, I stress this with all my heart. There's literally people in Tulsa, Georgia, dying and going to hell every day, and you're walking right by them and never saying a word to them or giving them a tract or telling them that Jesus loved them and died for them and will save them. And friend, I tell you, God wants to do a work in their life, and I'm thankful God had a plan. You know, if it had been up to me or you, we'd have messed it up. But thank God today, in Him, God started it, God maintains it, and God will finish it if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. I love Jesus today more than I ever have. And I believe if you do, you'll rest in His commandments. Friend, I tell you today, this world, I mean, can we not see that this world is falling apart daily? Jesus is coming soon. Only one life that soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. The Lord's confidence, the Lord's commitment, but rest in the Lord's comfort. He said, until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, that verse is so powerful. I don't know that I've portrayed that today to you. I hope I have, but that is such a powerful verse. Being confident of the very thing, that He which have begun a good work, He will perform it until. In other words, He wasn't late getting started, and He's not going to be early finishing. What He began at salvation, and what He's going to end is going to be the day that He comes and takes us home or we draw our last breath. And there's not going to be no in-between stalls or breaks along the way. One day this life will end. There's comfort in knowing. I tell you, this wicked world, we talk about it, and I've been to several funerals, preached one. Miss Scully's funeral was last week. Miss Swords a couple weeks ago. Many of y'all knew them. They lived some pretty good long lives. But I tell you what, I love life, but heaven is going to be such a wonderful place when God completes the work He begun and takes us home to be with Him. Oh, I tell you today, I'm looking for the shout. I'm looking for the coming of Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know when he's going to be finished with me? Is either when the rapture takes place or I draw my last breath down here. And I'm going to be complete in him. Because he didn't start something. I've told the story many times. My dad used to fuss at me all the time. He said, "You start something, you never finish it." I'm not proud of that. But I did. There was back when I was growing up, every little thing that come along, I wanted to do it. I've taken piano lessons, and I've done this, and I've done that. And along the way, I don't last. Dad said, "You just start something, but you don't finish." Well, I sure am glad that what God starts, he finishes. He don't quit because he got tired of it. He don't quit because he's distracted by other things. He don't ever quit because what he began, he will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know, today, I don't fear death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm confident today that he's going to do what he said he would do. When we leave this world behind, we'll be changed. This old vile flesh will disappear. The old appetites and the affections that we've had down here will leave behind. We'll be changed into a new image. And we're going to be as close to him as we've ever been, because we're going to receive a glorified body like unto his. Not only will we be like him, but we will also be with him. I tell you today, isn't that a good thought? To be like Christ. Man, we sing to be like Jesus. All I ask to be like him. And in a moment of death or his rapture coming, we're going to be just like him. But best of all, we're going to be with him forever and forever. To be with Jesus in his presence, in his heaven, will be glory beyond compare. Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, what God has prepared for them that love him. The Bible said for John 14, 1 through 3, he said, I'm losing it here, just I get it in a second maybe, but he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Isn't this hard to comprehend? I mean, unless you believe God. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," there's that "I will" again. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, ye may be, where you be with me also." I've never been satisfied with me down here. And I just kind of suspect some of you are not satisfied with you. We look in the mirror and we say, "Oh boy, I wish this was different. I wish that was different." And, you know, some of us have some legitimate reasons, you know, I guess, but we're just the way God made us. And we ought to be satisfied with the way God made us, but we'll never be satisfied with the way we are. We always got to do something. I'm back on that diet again, trying hard as I can to get me where I'd be satisfied. If I lost all the weight I wanted to lose, I probably wouldn't be satisfied. But I tell you, when I get to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be satisfied. I'll tell you what, satisfied. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? Friend, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And he's still working on you. And friend, we need to allow God to work on us and bring us to the place we need to be. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the verse that we shared this morning. Lord, thank you that you still work on us, that you bring us to the place we need to be. And I pray now that you would bless. I pray that you'd guide and direct. Just give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.